Greetings again, everybody. Open your Bibles now to Psalms 116 as we continue our series in the book of Psalms. Tremendous psalm that speak to how giving thanks to Him. My original title was How We Can Thank the Lord. That is certainly within it. I just shortened it up to giving thanks to the Lord. Psalm 116, follow along as I read. I loved the Lord because He had heard my voice and my supplication, because He had inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. The pains of death surround me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore You, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yet our God is merciful. The Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefit towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vow to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Your servant. I am Your servant, the son of Your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vow to the Lord, now in the presence of all His people, in the court of the Lord's house, in the midst of You, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let go of the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before You, thanking You again for this psalm. It gives us rich instruction on how we can sincerely and truthfully give You thanks. So Lord, as we work our way through this psalm, may it challenge and speak and our hearts, that we would have our minds renewed and transformed, our will surrendering to His teaching. Lord, let us never be guilty of Your bountiful blessing on us that we would not return gratitude. Oh, Lord, help us to be people of thankfulness, always giving of thanks, praising Your name with gratitude for Your blessing, for Your deliverances, for You not only hearing, but answering our prayers. So, Father, we pray that we will listen to what the psalmist has here. There is a sense of passion here, spontaneity, depth, intensity, richness and fullness, and genuineness and sincerity. All here, Lord, that should be reflective in our own thanksgiving. Lord, You have, as we sung the hymn just a moment ago, You have richly blessed, boundlessly blessed, with numberless blessings, as one hymn writer says. Oh, Lord, help us to be people, no matter what the world does, in their ingratitude, not giving You thanks that You are worthy. May we give You thanks at the highest level, at the highest order, in a way You are truly worthy. May we do it with our whole hearts and sincere hearts. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite commentators in this book of Psalms had been a little booklet out of a series of the Tyndale Old Testament commentary series. Derek Kidner opened this section with these words. There is a infectious delight and touching gratitude about this psalm. The personal tribute of a man whose prayer had been found an overwhelming answer. He had come now to the temple to tell the whole assembly what has happened and to offer God what he had vowed to him in his extremity. End quote. Such a psalm as this should help us all and help many to find words for their own public thanksgiving. One of the things about this psalm is that it really lays out some benchmarks that we should have in our thankfulness, in our thanksgiving, especially when it comes to God answering our prayers. We constantly go to him in a time of need, but rarely do we give him the same intensity and thankfulness as we do in the intensity of a prayer being answered when those times come. This psalm had the mark of spontaneity coming from the depth of his recent experience. Speaking of the psalmist here. So let's look at it. For point number one, the prayer for deliverance. First two verses read, I love the Lord because he had heard my voice and my supplication. Because he had inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Wow, what a tremendous statement here. Answer to prayers should prompt more love for the Lord. When we truly go to the Lord, getting on our knees, humbling ourselves before him, acknowledging our need before him, whatever the situation may be, whatever the trial may be, whatever the crisis may be, we should be people who love him because he answers our prayers. Are we deserving of those answers? No. But he is a Father in heaven who had promised to hear our prayers and answer them in according to his will. And so often we fail to let the natural response of answered prayer be in not only producing confidence, knowing that God hears, God answered, God is able. But here we see a really unique thing. It's, I love the Lord because he heard my prayer. It's like saying with John, I love him because he first loved me. So often we forget that here in this psalm, the inspired word of God said that one of the fruits of answered prayer is not just the answer, but a transformation in our heart to love him more, to serve him more, to give him more. Psalm 40 verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Those are encouraging words. If any of us, most all of us have experienced profound answers to prayer. Things that we prayed, maybe even hesitantly, not sure, but prayed anyway because we knew there was nowhere else to go. And yet he bountifully answered. Many of you are sitting here because of those answered prayers. Praise God for that. And we need to love him more as a result of it. Psalm 66, 19. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Just think of it. The sovereign one of the universe, taking time, being mindful of our prayer. Sometimes when children make requests to their parents, we all know sometimes they're a little off the mark, silly, outrageous. We smile, we chuckle. Sometimes our prayers are that way with God. But God will answer them when they're in accordance to his will. Psalm 86, verse 7, in the day of my trouble I will call upon you, for you will answer. Beloved, let me ask you a simple question. When trials come, where do we go? Where else can we go but to the Lord? Where else could we go but to him who can answer and who can and is able to answer? Psalm 45, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. To all who call upon Him in truth, or the word there, truth, is in sincerity. So we need to, when we look at verse 1, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. Here's another one, Psalms 18, verses 1 through 6. I will love You, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So I shall be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surround me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surround me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Beloved, what? Started with good theology. He's my strength. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my strength. He's my God. Where else should we go to? And yet, in the midst of distress, I cried upon the Lord. I called upon the Lord. And that's what we have here. In this verse, in these first two verses, it said, I love the Lord because He had heard my voice and my supplication, because He had inclined His ear to me. There, because of that, not only do I love Him, it said, therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. Now we not only have God answering prayer that prompted more love for Him, it prompted a resolve to always call upon the Lord, to always to pray. He not only remembered the path and drawing lasting comfort from it, and He made a lifelong commitment and resolve to call upon the Lord. May we be people of prayer. Be people, no matter what happens in our daily life, day-to-day situation, we go to Him, call upon Him, trust in Him. Verse 3 and 4, the pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore You, deliver my soul. Here you hear the passion, the intensity, the resolve to pray. That did not someone who is trying to navigate himself or themselves around life, around staying away from danger. He is in danger. That's why it says here, death had surrounded him. Pangs of Sheol had laid hold on him. And he had found trouble and sorrow. He's already experiencing it. We don't know the nature. We don't know the historical context. But here, it is about someone not trying to avoid danger. They're already in danger. They've been caught and they've been held. Surrounded in the pain, or surrounded and in the pangs of. The idea of death cords were tightening. Pangs is the idea of constriction or be held in its grip. How many times have we been in circumstances where we may have feared our lives, or feared being overwhelmed by a circumstance that we may never come out of it whole again, whatever that could be. Oh, here the psalmist had faced a what appeared to be a very debilitating and devastating situation. We don't know. Some had surmised it was serious health issue. Some surmised enemy. It could be any one of those things. But we need to understand that the only proper response when we are confronted with that, beloved, is in verse 4. Verse 4, which read, then I called upon the Lord, the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, not His L-O-R-D or G-O-D, but all that He is. His name is the reflection of all that He is and all of His character trait and attribute in his totality and wholeness. Call it upon the name of the Lord. Beloved, it's our only refuge, only place of help. We learned this morning about he had the help and a shield to those who fear him. Here we see prayer. Here that prayer we can see clearly if you take the time to feel it. It is emphatic, it is intense, and it is urgent. I am in trouble, Lord. I need you. I'm looking to you. I'm calling you. I'm crying out to you. I implore you. That is not your going down a checklist of on a prayer list. That is putting aside, and I got my heart at burden right now. I implore you to deliver my soul, to deliver me. Then in point number two, in verses 5 to 11, we see remembered mercy, how God time and time again had delivered, answered. Verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Stop. Now we can go right on through, but we're going to break it down. Try to pick up all the high spots. Three things you should see here about the Lord. He is gracious, he is righteous, he is merciful. Here, this is an outburst of praise that captured the delight of answered prayer. Beloved, may we never be guilty, as I said earlier, guilty of failing to give thanks to answered prayer. May we not simply say thank you, but be filled with gratitude continually for this answer to prayer. So often we pray for sometimes weeks and months, sometimes years for things. Why would one simple thank you, Lord, be enough? He is worthy of every day praising his name for that answer. And then when you take that answer, Ed, I would keyed up of a phrase that Fanny Crosby said in the book, our hymn was numberless blessings. Numberless. Countless. We can't keep up with it. So we should be busy thanking him. That's what we have here. Because he is gracious. We don't deserve it. Graciousness is the idea of great unmerited favor. You've been granted something you don't deserve. That is worthy of praise, honor, and thankfulness. He is infinitely righteous. He will never give us something that is sinful, wrong, hurtful, damaging to us. Only that which is righteous and whole. And praise God, he's merciful. We don't get what we do deserve. He is merciful and gives us. So we see again, the Lord is gracious, righteous, and merciful. Verse 6, the Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. It's almost like the picture of in the nick of time, he delivered me. But I love how he called himself simple. A simpleton. A humble person. Here, we can see that God had time and does incline his ear to hear the prayers of the simple, the humble. Let's be honest, we're all simpletons before him. We may have different degrees among ourselves, but all of us are in the light of his infinite wisdom and knowledge. We are very, very plain and simple. And yet God preserves them. He takes care of them. He preserved the humble. Gives grace to the humble, but resisted the proud. Saves them. Verse 7. I love this. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with you. Let's be honest, folks. If we take any time to reflect, to meditate, God has been good. God has been good in a way that we don't deserve. The psalmist uses the word, you have dealt with me bountifully. You have not simply given me what I needed, but you have bountifully blessed, overflowingly blessed. Here we see, because of that, something should take place Notice the first part of the verse again. Return to your rest, O my soul. Where is there but rest in the trust and the confidence in our God? One commentator said that this could be translated the following: be at rest once more, my heart. It's almost like God saying, be at rest once again. So we see here that God gives rest and God deals bountifully with us who call upon Him, who look to Him, depend upon Him, trust in Him. The wicked don't. When we are in our lost state, we didn't. When we are not walking with the Lord and walking in carnality and backsliddenness, we do not call upon the Lord. We're self-sufficient. We think we can do it without His help, which is vanity. Verse 8. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Again, we see the progression. We see the in verse 9, and I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So here we see the whole idea. It goes back to he was surrounded in verse 3 with death, and the pangs of Sheol had laid hold of him, and he had found trouble and sorrow, profoundly so. And so far he had talked about being the Lord being gracious, righteous, and merciful. The Lord had preserved. He had saved him. He had given him rest. He had given him, and he had blessed bountifully. Here we see the idea of delivered, kept his eyes from tears and his feet from falling or failing. Instead of dying, instead of succumbing to the situation, whatever it may have been, he's declaring again in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You have delivered my soul, my eyes, and my feet from death, from tears, and falling. I will remain among the living. Why? Because you, O Lord, have answered my prayer. You have delivered me and taken me and guided me through all of this. All because of grace. One of the worst things we could ever do is whenever we get in a tight situation and a crisis situation, and we do what we should do. Wisdom tells us how to act and how to proceed and what to do. And if we get the answer, we make progress out of it, and we take credit for it. That is unacceptable. For a child of God, we know better that without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him intervening and answering, we cannot afford to be proud like this world. I don't need the Lord. I can do it on my own. And I hear Christians all the time saying, well, I did this and I did that. No, you got too many eyes there. It is the Lord enabling us, empowering us, strengthening us. He had graced us. He had blessed us. If we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew 6, we need to remember that if we got to depend upon Him for daily food, we got to depend upon Him for everything. Especially spiritual needs. Verse 10 and 11. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my hate, all men are liars. Pretty profound statement here. Should be a true statement for every one of us to say as well. What is interesting, and Paul had taken the idea of verse 10 and used it himself in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, which reads as follows. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore spoke. When you have believed these things that we are learning and saying and coming to grips with, that the psalmist is saying, if we believe them, speak it. Don't be ashamed of it. Declare it. The world needs to hear the truth about our God. Folks, you already know I've been to London and Germany we're talking about godless people. You think America's bad? It is insanely crazy in Germany. I mean, I had to deal with all kinds of iniquity and abominations around me. But I saw spiritual deadness. I saw they were blank in their eye trying to seek and find help in all the wrong places. And yet the world will try to always find answers outside of God, outside of Christ, and outside of the Word of God. Beloved, we believe, therefore we should speak. We believe this book, and the book is true. The book has proven itself again and again to be true. So therefore, let's speak. I am greatly afflicted, he said. Verse 11, I said in my haste, or as I was in hurry, all men are liars. What is he trying to say there? What he's trying to say is you can't trust men. Oh yeah, I'll be there for you. You can count on me. I'll get you through this. No, man cannot help you. The help of man, we learned earlier in the Psalms and will again later, is vain. Help from man is vain ultimately. We always turn and look to the Lord first. We do it in prayer. All men are liars. They are false. No one is to be relied upon and depended upon ultimately. Now we come to the climax of this thanksgiving. Look at verses. In point number 3, it said fervent gratitude in verses 12 through 19. Let's look at verse 12. What should I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? See, just previously, he just talked about in my haste, in my hurriness, I made a statement that I can't trust men. They're liars. They can't keep the promises. They can't keep the truth. But he poses a question here. It's a question every one of us should ask. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me, toward you? Valid question. What shall we do? Well, here we go. He gives us the list of stuff. Verse 13 and 14. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vow to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So right away we see here, he takes this cup of salvation. Many believe it was the cup of thanksgiving. It is the idea that he will take this cup of salvation, realizing that God had delivered him. God has saved him from his crisis, his situation, his being surrounded by death and trouble and sorrow. Therefore, he calls upon the Lord in the giving of thanks. That's a good place to start. Have your cup full of giving thanks to the Lord. Number 2, one of the things that I think is missing in the Christian church today and many of the disciplines of the Christian is we rarely make vows anymore to the Lord because we're almost afraid to do it because we know what God says about vows. If you vow, you follow through. If you don't, if you vow and do not follow through, you are considered a fool. It would have been better that you had not given the vow. Ecclesiastes 3. But here, somehow, in some way, we don't know the nature of the vow. Usually it's a sacrifice. It doesn't have to be a lifetime vow. It can be, I make a vow to make a sacrifice in the Old Testament sense. Here, I will pay my vow to the Lord. And here's what I love about it. I'm going to pay my vow before everybody. I'm going to let everybody know how much I'm excited about what God had done in my life and delivered me from my situation. That's why it said, I will pay my vow to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. The wicked could care less. But before his people, here, when we pay our vows, when we make vows and we pay those vows, it is a wonderful expression of thanksgiving. the idea of what he's saying in verse 14 is he wants to perform this and execute his vow. The word vows here refers to a solemn promise that he had made, whatever he had said. That's why you be careful when you say in your vow. In the presence of all his people before. And what I love, also noted again, verse 14, I will pay my vow to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Sometimes we drag our feet in our vows. We need to keep our vows and fulfill them quickly, immediately. Especially if he answered, he delivered, he did his part, he is worthy of praise and thankfulness and us fulfilling the vow that we have committed, whatever that may be. It can come in a lot of different ways. That's between you and him. It wasn't mandatory. You voluntarily decided to make a vow out of gratitude and thankfulness. You'd follow through with it, whatever that may be. Whatever you had vowed unto the Lord. Then we come to a good verse that we hear often in funerals. Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The word precious means something that is highly valued. The idea that many commentators believe that he's saying here is the idea of the preciousness of the death of those who die faithfully to him. That's why using the word saint instead of just simply his people, but his saints indicate a quality of life and a commitment and faithfulness of an upright life. Precious is the death of those who die faithfully to him, being faithful to him. That's why it's important that we finish strong, beloved, be consistent in our life, and to be strong faithfully to him in all that he had commanded us and commissioned us to do. And then by way of something I'm going to do a little different tonight, usually at the end of everything I always give you, okay, here's our takeaways. Well, this time I'm going to let the text be the takeaway. In verses 16 through 19, we have some takeaways here. Kind of a review of what he's already saying in verse 16. Oh Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your servant. You have loosened my bond. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vow to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the court of the Lord's house, and in the midst of you, O Lord, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. So here in this bullet item of our takeaway is that we are people who belong to the Lord. We are his servants. We are servants of the one true God. Our life is to be committed to serving his purpose, his kingdom, his ways, his will. Oh, beloved, I read something just recently on Facebook. It said, why do we take the name and not the character of a Christian? Sure, I'm a Christian, but why do we not take the character of the Christian? Sure, you're a child of God, but why don't you take the character of the child of the Holy One? So, beloved, if you claim the name, live the name. Live it out. We are his servants. Number two, I offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We've been hearing that weave throughout this psalm. Again and again, thankfulness and gratitude. Why? He is gracious. Why? Because he heard and inclined and answered and delivered and saved. Why? Because he is good. I will call upon your name. Because he answered, we should keep calling upon his name. We can't stop. Praise God, you can go anywhere in the world, and God hears our prayer. If you make vows, pay them. Don't waste any time. Perform and execute what you have promised before the Lord as the way of an expression of your gratitude. That's between you and him. Nobody else needs to know. But he knows. He knows if you committed a vow in your heart. And you need to do it before all. People might ask, why are you doing this? Because the Lord is good. My way of giving thanks. Then it always, and at this section, praise the Lord is that, in Hebrew, is hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the light of everything we learn, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So there it is. Psalm 116, a great psalm on how to have a life of thankfulness because God answers our prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your bountiful blessings our way. We are certainly not worthy of it. That's why we see you as a God who is gracious. We know what we deserve, and yet you don't give it to us. That's why we see you as the God of mercy. And all of your dealings, they are right, they are righteous, and they are equitable. So, Lord, may we truly have our love deepen and growing as a result of every time you enter and deliver. Father, if we make vows, may we follow through. But Lord, may our hearts be filled with gratitude and thankfulness, and manifold ways of expressing it should be seen and known and felt by all of your people. Lord, help us never to take you for granted. Help us never to fall into the trap of unthankfulness and ingratitude. Oh, Lord, above all, help us not to fall into the trap of mere formality of simply saying it when our heart is stone cold and there's really no gratitude there. The lips are saying one thing, the heart is saying another. So, Lord, help us to be genuine and sincere, loving you with all our hearts, praising you, thanking you in a way that you are worthy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.